Good to see you. Right, well, let's start then, shall we? We'll just get ourselves together. But I'd like to welcome you all, first of all, those of you who normally come and often come regularly, and those of you who are just here for the first time. Is anybody here for the first time today? Oh, nobody. Oh, yes, there are some people. Yes, wonderful. Well, very, very warm welcome to you too. And a warm welcome to anybody who may be watching online later in the day, because the service is being recorded for those who aren't able to get to the actual service this morning. So welcome to you all, and we pray that God will really meet with us this morning. We'll have a great time together of worship and learning and just enjoyment in the presence of God. My name is Jo Hartwright. Some of you know, most of you know that anyway, and I'm part of the team here at St. Andrew's, and I'm very pleased to be leading you this morning. And later on, Jo Vickery will be speaking to us. So you've got two Jos this morning. You've got two for the price of one. So I hope you'll enjoy that combination, and that you'll feel that God is meeting with you. So, one or two other notices, but before I go on to that, if there are any people who are from our Ukrainian friends here this morning, special welcome to you. We always think about you and pray for you, and we hope that you'll enjoy the service, although I haven't got translation like we had here last week, I'm afraid. My technology doesn't go to that point. But a very warm welcome to anybody who is visiting from anywhere abroad. That's very special. Just one or two notices before we carry on. Most of them Marion will put on the screen. But to draw your attention particularly to tonight, when our evening service at 6 o'clock, will be meeting at All Saints. It's called Deeper at the Six. So we'll be meeting at All Saints tonight at 6 o'clock if you want to come to that service and spend some time worshipping and drawing close to God then. So at 6 o'clock, 5:45, coffee for a six o'clock start. So that's tonight. And most of the other notices you'll find online. Just to remember, though, that there are various meetings and events taking place during August, just to keep us in touch. There are picnics and afternoon teas and so on. So do avail yourself of them. It can be a great time of fellowship together. So those are the main notices today. So we will leave it at that for those. And today we are moving forward with our August theme, which is entitled Heavenly Encounters, God Encountering His People through Scripture, in testimony, in our lives today, however that moves in our experience. But we pray that that will be a great time of learning with God, and we'll be talking a little bit about that later. So let's just pause for a moment in the presence of God. Let's join together then by standing, and we're going to just declare the greatness of God together. So if you'd like to stand, and we're going to say some of this Psalm 148, which is now on the screen. And I'm not sure whether we can do it like this, but well, let's try. I wonder if this side of the church can do the first page, which is there in front of you, and we're going to say it together. Then this side of the church do the next page that Marilyn put up, and then we'll all together do the third page. Let's just see how good we are at that. But let's think about the words that we're saying, so shall we? So those who aren't reading at the moment, do still read it, follow it on the screen. So I'll say, praise the Lord, this side. Praise the Lord from heaven. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all you angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he established them for ever and ever. Then all of us, praise the Lord, young men and women, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. So we're going to join in this great song. And if the boys and girls want to come forward and take their instruments and have their flags, that's be brilliant. We're singing praise to our God, to Yahweh, Yahweh, the God who is always with us. So let's join together.
As your name, the mountains shake and roll.
Together in God's name, he is here in the middle of us. Let's pause for a moment and let's pray then, shall we? Let's pray together. Great. Almighty God, we acknowledge that you are greater and more powerful than any other. And we see your creative power all around us. What's the most beautiful thing you've seen this week? Picture it in your mind's eye. The most beautiful thing you've seen. We thank you that even though you are creator of all things, you care about us individually. Where have you known God's care this week? In your mind's eye. Where have you known his loving care? Thank you, Jesus. Even though, Lord, we have let you down, we've let others down, we've let ourselves down, you extend your mercy and loving kindness to us and forgive us. What do you want God to forgive you for just now? Just reach out and receive forgiveness because of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Wash us clean again, Lord, and fill us with your Holy Spirit that we might grow more like Jesus as we follow him day by day. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yeah, it's good to know that God is there and he's with us listening and responding as we respond to him. It's good to see you. Just come back to that in a minute, Jane. Yes, we're very free-flowing this morning, so I hope you don't mind that. that comes a little bit in a little bit of time, but I'll introduce it. Yeah. Yes. So I didn't know whether there'd be many people here this morning because it's been the first week of the school holidays, hasn't it? And we wondered if everybody would have gone on holiday. But obviously you haven't, so that's good. Unless some people are coming up country from Dover and they're stuck in a queue, but I hope they won't be. But, have you had a good week? Let's hope you've had a good week. And if you've been on holiday or to New Wine, let's hope that you've had a good time. I know some people have been away at New Wine. Well, Paul and I haven't been on holiday. But we've been at home most of the week doing this and that. But we did have a marvellous day in Wales on Friday when we were up on the moors and it was glorious and the skylarks were singing and rising up there, and the sky was amazing, and everything around us was so beautiful, and we were able to praise God. And we're very blessed in that we have quite a nice garden, a big garden, a steep garden, but a very nice garden. And we've enjoyed what we can do in enjoying what's in the garden there. And there's a lot of wildlife. I don't know whether boys and girls could think of what we might see in our garden. A robin, we've seen the odd robin, yes, and a few buzzards. not vultures yet. Paul said, all we need now is vultures because we've got all these buzzards around. But we haven't got vultures yet. But we have got lots of birds and they're very busy finding water at the moment. And not so long ago, a great big bird came whoosh down on the pond. What do you think that was? Great big thing, big bill, a heron, yes it was. And then I felt like saying, you ate all our fishes about 10 years ago, there's no good looking there anymore. But there was a heron and frogs, there's always frogs and beetles and all that sort of thing. And it's real pleasure to enjoy the wildlife. We saw a fox the other day, not so welcome when you've got chickens, but anyway, there are lots of things there. And then squirrels, they often come and they pinch all the fruit off the garden. Not a plum was left this morning when we went into the garden, and there were bunches of plums all over until yesterday, so they've been very busy in the early morning. And then they sit on the top of the roof and they go, because they're eating away at the figs and the plums and the apples and everything else. But one thing that we did see this morning, and we thought, my goodness, what is that? And of course, we got the binoculars out, because we always keep those handy. Oh, I perhaps shouldn't do this. I can see who's on the back row. Oh, yes. Yeah, they're not asleep yet. That's all right. And we had a look, and we thought, that's a muntjac. You know, one of those little deer that are about the size of a dog. But it wasn't. It had a white rump, and it had little black tips to its ears, and it was a roe deer. And then I thought, oh dear, because once they're in your garden, they like it, and they like it there. They don't go away. And the next minute, munch, 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 eating the water lilies and the flowers in the pond. So anyway, in the end, he went off barking like a dog and hid in the woods. But so that was one thing that we'd seen we hadn't expected. And then another thing, we saw all these little holes dug in the ground, and all these sort of wax capsules with holes in, and thought, what on earth are they? And we saw bumblebees going in and out, And I think they must have been a bumblebee's nest, and then something was scratching it up. And every morning we went, and it was scratched up again. Paul would fill it in, and it'd be scratched up again. And we think it was a badger after the larvae and so on that were inside the nest. So there's always something to see in the garden, and there's always something to enjoy, but there is always something or things that aren't quite so welcome. And whatever the season, it's really good to watch, and it's really good to be watching around and carefully observing what's going on, and to gain a clearer picture. And sometimes I have my little binoculars, and sometimes we might want to see something really tiny. So I've got a little magnifying glass there that I had for donkey's years. But it's quite good for quick looking through. Or we might want to look at something, you know, much smaller on a leaf or something like that. So it's good to be able to have these things that help us to see things more clearly. And when we're exploring our faith, we sometimes need that, don't we? We need to have aids and helps to see how we can understand what's going on in our lives or what Jesus is saying when we're exploring faith and what it means to follow Jesus. But we need to keep listening and looking and questioning and learning, because there's always more to grasp, isn't there? There's always more to take hold of. And it's always good to ask questions. Some people think, oh, you shouldn't ask God questions. Well, of course you should. God knows everything anyway, so it's all right to ask him questions. He's not likely to turn around and say, oh, I'm not sure about that one. Oh, I don't know the answer to that. God always will show us things if we ask him. You know, what is this for? What does this mean in the scripture? Why did Jesus say that? What does that thing mean? And how does it apply to my life today? I don't understand. I don't know. God, if we trust him, will direct us. And that's part of what we're talking about during this series. If we really want to grow more like him, keep asking the questions. Keep pushing forward. Don't be afraid. God won't push you aside. He'll sometimes say, I know all about that, and it's not for you to know at the moment. You know, I can deal with that. Just trust me. You know, sometimes we don't have the full picture, even though we're exploring and observing. But God can be trusted, and many of us here can have proved that in our lives, as I have. So Jesus, if you want him, he will give you a life of excitement, and you can enjoy a life that will mirror his. So keep asking and keep trusting. And we're going to sing the song now, Jane. That's a lovely song, I Want to Be Like Jesus, because if we want to be like Jesus, that's how we grow, isn't it? So perhaps we would like to stand, and the band would lead us.
Simon, can you turn me on? Very, very short observation. We were at New Wine this week, and when Joe said, think of a beautiful sight you've seen, I saw the most beautiful sight We tended to sit in the same place, behind the area for the deaf, and for me the most beautiful sight was watching the signers using their hands to illustrate the talks and the worship, and doing this for people who couldn't hear. And it, for me, that was the most beautiful sight that I've seen for quite some time. I want to be like Jesus.
I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus.
Want to be like you. We want to be like you. Please help us day by day to follow you. In your name we pray. Amen. Please do sit down. The children are going to leave us now, and that's the children between 0 and 11 who have something prepared for them, if they'd like to gather themselves together. And I'll just pray for them as they leave. Lord Jesus, we thank you for every life here and every young life here, and we pray your blessing on them, that you would grow faith in them and lead them forwards as they try to be like you with your power and direction. Amen. Amen. Oh, that's really nice. Thank you. Well, we're going to continue in an atmosphere of prayer now, and Colin is going to come and lead us in some intercessions.
Let's join together in prayer. After each of the sections, I will say, Father, in your mercy, and so that you feel involved in the prayers, would you say, hear our prayers. We come to you now, our ever-loving Heavenly Father, who knows even before we ask what we have need of, and is willing to do even more than we dare ask or think. Your world is in crisis, and we cry out to you for mercy and compassion. Specifically, we lift to you the following issues which are on our hearts today. As we consider who will be our new Prime Minister, we pray for guidance and wisdom for those who will vote. We especially pray for those Christians who are MPs or members of the Conservative Party. May they speak out in your name to make known your will. We know and acknowledge that it is you who places people into positions of authority. May your will be done, and may this nation be led with integrity and justice. Father, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
We lift to you today all those who are struggling with the cost of living crisis. We pray for those organisations trying to help provide support to those in need. Especially we pray for CAP, both worldwide and locally here in Malvern and Ledbury. We lift to you the debt counsellors and befrienders. And we also pray for those running the food bank, the pantry at the Octagon, and local community hubs here in Malvern. Father, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We continue to pray for those facing the trauma of war in Ukraine and for those seeking refuge around the world. Father, we pray now for a miraculous outbreak of peace and reconciliation. We pray for your blessing on those hosting families here in Malvern. Give them grace, patience, and understanding. Father, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We lift to you all those who have been affected by the recent wildfires, those who have lost their homes and livelihoods. We ask for wisdom and clear leadership as we face the challenges of climate change. Show us what we must do to bring healing to your world, which we have abused. Father, in your mercy. And nearer home, we just lift to you Katie and Ben as they plan their return. Lord, we pray that you'll give them clear guidance in relation to schooling for the children and for their future home. We ask this in Jesus' name. Let us join together now by saying the Lord, prayer that the Lord taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Respond with two songs here. The first one very much a prayer for us to be hidden with the Lord.
Rise and thunders roar. I will soar with you.
Even when we feel separated, God is with us. That's where we started. God is with us and carries us through. Lord, continue to do your work, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.
The Apostle Paul writes, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. This is the word of the Lord.
Speak to us. Let's sing the song that takes its title from that scripture. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Father, we pray that your Spirit would indeed open the eyes of our heart and would open your word to our hearts and open our hearts to your word. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. It's great to be here again. Good morning to those who are listening, or whatever time it is you're listening online, watching, whether you're on your phones or the television, wherever it might be. It's great to be able to share this incredible passage of Scripture and to, yeah, like Joe was saying, sort of look at it in a bit more detail and examine the wonder of it, the implications of it for our own lives, because they are huge. It's a passage which St. Paul, who is writing from prison, so he has a bit of time on his hands, so to speak, but he's reflecting on the purpose that God has for his people. Not only that purpose, but also the power that Christ has made possible for us and for them to experience in order that purpose may be fulfilled. So it's a really central passage, and at the beginning of the book of Ephesians, it sort of sets the scene for everything else that comes after it. I don't know whether any of you have seen the Arena program on BBC Four on the river. It's just called The River. If you haven't seen it, I would totally recommend it. And it was shown a little while ago, but it has the most magnificent photography and amazing music from an Australian orchestra that brings the whole thing alive. It's minimal commentary, but the words that are said are beautifully chosen. And the person who's speaking behind these amazing pictures of this river, many different types of rivers, pouring down mountainsides, glaciers, bounding down waterfalls, through little crevices and taking a path through all the rocks and caves. He made the comment at the beginning that the purpose of the river is to find the sea. And the power of the river to find the sea is gravity. And that summed it up for me. Its purpose was to find the sea, and the power to get there is gravity. It draws, this power of gravity draws the water down through every single channel that it possibly could find. And in his letter to the Ephesians, St. Paul is praying for his fellow Christians that this purpose and power that God has for them may become clear. Maybe in their hearts, not only in their heads, but God would open the eyes of their hearts to see how great it is. That the purpose of God is for them to find life in its fullness, and the power of God is to be able to get to that place. And I just want to unpack those two things this morning quite briefly. And I want to do it around three heavenly encounters. Three encounters that people have had over the years that illustrate those two aspects of God's life in us. And the first one, the first heavenly encounter, was with me. When I was 17 years old, I think, I was in school, in the sixth form. We went to a general studies lesson quite early on in the term. And the teacher said, right, we're going to have a debate today. And we're going to have Christians against the rest. I don't know whether it would happen today. But it was quite a while ago. Anyway, she said, all the people who consider themselves Christians would like to gather around this table. All who are not, gather around this table, and we'll have a debate. We'll have a discussion about it all. So I had been brought up in a household where my parents went to church on festivals, Christmas and Easter and sometimes harvest and things. I believed in God, and I tried to live as best life I could. So I considered I was a Christian, so I joined the Christians on that table. And at first, I just started to listen to what they were saying. And the more I listened, the more I didn't recognize what they were really talking about. Because some of them were starting to talk about Christianity in terms of not just a believing in God or doing the best you can, but they started to talk about the relationship of love with Jesus. And the more I listened, the more I understood that I am totally out of my depth here. I don't know about this Jesus in terms of a relationship. And it was at that point that I believe God opened the eyes of my heart to see what I was or what I wasn't, and to see who Jesus was and who Jesus is. And so over the course of the next weeks and months, I began to meet up in the break times with various people who were in that group of Christians, and I asked them to explain a little bit more about what they meant by having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And cut a long story short, over a period of months, they enabled me to see who Jesus was, and I started to read the Bible, read the Gospels, and to find myself the reality of this incredible person and the words that he spoke and the life that he lived. And so the first sentence that St. Paul prays in our reading from Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17 says that he prays that God would give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you may know him better, that you may know Jesus Christ better. And that is what God did in me. I began to get to know Jesus Christ and know him better. So I am eternally thankful that God was able to do that in my life, and it totally changed the course of my life. The second heavenly encounter happened when I was in my first living, my first parish, which was in Radnorshire, in mid Wales, right on the borders of Herefordshire, in a place called Witton, which is just near Knighton. Some of you know it's farming country. There were five parishes, 500 sheep, and about five people, but in the church. Anyway, it was very, very different from where I ended up in Bristol. But Wendy was the farmer who came to church one day. Wendy was a typical Radnorshire farmer. She had brought up sheep with what they called curly horns. They all speak with a bit of an R in Radnorshire, but like Hereford as well. And they had curly horns. And she said she came to the service regularly at St. John's in Witton. And I noticed her in the service. She was, she wasn't paying a great deal of attention to what I was saying. And she was looking out of the window a bit and a bit all over the place, and sometimes she had her eyes closed and things. And anyway, came out of the service, you know, everybody says thank you, nice sermon, Vicar, thank you very much, and everything else. And she came out and she said, Jonathan, she said, and they called me Jonathan those days, Jonathan, I believe in the resurrection. And I thought, how am I? Her face was totally aglow with the love and the joy of the Spirit. I wasn't talking in any way about the resurrection in that sermon. It wasn't in the text. But something had happened in her life and in her heart that made it possible for her to see that Jesus... You know what it's like sometimes? Some of you will know that, like, all of a sudden the light bulb thing will go on. And her life was transformed as well. And so as we continue in that passage, St. Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, together with the saints, with God's people. And here he's talking about this sense of purpose that God gives us. We might call it hope, might call it a sense of destiny, a destination as to where we're traveling. The hope we have of being with God, as God is with us in this life, but ultimately finding our whole lives caught up in the ocean of God's love. That's our purpose. That's our ultimate destiny. And God wants that for the whole of humanity and for his creation. And that's why I shared that picture of the image of the river finding its purpose, finding its hope, its destiny in being caught up in this massive ocean into which it goes and travels and ultimately finds its rest in that place. You know how St. Augustine was inspired to pray, Lord, you have made us for yourself. And our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. So our home is in God and his love. And we never really find a deep sense of peace until we're in that place of just being, surrounded by that love that God has, the eternal love and the beauty of his presence. That ocean of love, I want to see you high and lifted up, we sang, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love that we might sing, holy, holy, holy. That's a picture of one day we shall be caught up with all God's people in that worship of God that is beyond description, beyond our imagining. But we'll see Jesus for who he really is. And as St. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. So these encounters with God are like a foretaste of that which is to come. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. You know, with fish and chips, and you get a smell of fish. If you get some fish and chips and you bring it home, how many of us can resist just sort of picking a little chip out of the box before you get home and share it with your family or whatever? There's just that smell about it. It's that sense of, I've got to have one. It's that foretaste of the more to come that you can anticipate with joy. And we have been given that foretaste of what is the more to come in this life. Such is the grace of God. And when my friend Wendy talked about believing in the resurrection, she was also able to recognize that in the resurrection of Jesus was the overcoming of all that had stopped her experiencing the life of God herself. She was able to see that on the cross, the death of Jesus made it possible for the pathway to having life in Jesus was being made possible. We know that Jesus on the cross smashed down the barrier that was between us and God, the barrier of sin and death. It was smashed by his power of love and all-forgiving grace. And I remember that in that program I watched, the river flowed wonderfully. All the time it wasn't blocked, but they showed vividly over a course of time a number of dams being built in the course of these rivers in South America, in Africa, wherever. And these dams blocked the river And although they harnessed energy, the potential for irrigation and water distribution was increased. Everything downstream of that river was barren. It dried up, it died and withered, and the life was gone. However, there were so many people in the areas where it's featured who were protesting against those dams. And eventually their cries were heard, and they made the decision to blow the dams up. And when they did that, you could see this water starting to trickle over the top and through the places, and they got bigger and bigger and bigger, and the torrents of water that came through was raging and magnificent, and it made it possible for wherever that water went for life to be restored and for creation to recover. And Jesus' death on the cross had that life-giving effect on us. It brought hope for humanity. And Paul's prayer is so passionate is because he longs for his friends in Ephesus to know this for themselves at a deeper level, that God would open the inner eyes of their hearts to see and believe and find this purpose, life with God, life in God. He says, I pray that the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Now that is a crucial part of what he's praying. The power bit. The incomparably great power. Because purpose without power is purpose or hope unfulfilled. I've brought with me my wife's prized possession, especially in the winter. And she's sitting in front of the telly and she always gets the fan heater out. And it is a great comfort. But we know that the purpose of the fan heater is to make her warm, but the power that needs to be experience to make it happen has to be come from the electricity, and it needs to be plugged in. So that when I turn it on, it's doing its job. Its purpose and power together fulfill that hope. And it's a very simple illustration of something that's beautifully portrayed in so many different parts of the world, and in some parts of the world is tragically portrayed as well. When you think of what's happening in the Ukraine, the hope, the purpose of the people of the Ukraine is desperate to find freedom and peace, and how they need the power to resist evil, to be resilient in what's happening. And indeed, if they need to have that power, if there's no peace settlement, to resist the enemy with the power that the weapons from the Allies can supply. It's vital that we have both. And God has given us that power in Jesus, in and through Jesus, who was raised from the dead. Listen to what he says in Romans 8, verse 11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Through his spirit who lives in you. This is incredible. It is an absolute mind-blowing thing. That's why we need God to help us to appreciate the significance of this passage. The same spirit that was in Jesus, that raised him from the dead, lives in me and in you. And so we can face the future with hope that will be realized. All of us face the prospect of death. But to face the prospect of death with that hope and with the power of God's life within us, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, gives us a completely different perspective than if we didn't have that hope and that power within. Purpose and power. That is what God gives us. That is what His grace is about. And I want to conclude by just quoting the words of somebody, my third witness, as it were, to the encounters with God, of John Newton, who in 1748 experienced the eyes of his heart being enlightened, experienced that opportunity to see with a new way what the people that he was with, who they really were. That his life was found in serving God's purposes rather than in making slaves serve his. And so he was inspired to write the hymn, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, couldn't see, now I see. Through many dangers, toils and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." He will find the capacity to find his home, his destiny, in that ocean of God's love, by God's grace through Jesus. "Yes, when this flesh and heart shall fail and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. And more than that, when we've been there for 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began." That's the vision that he has, and that's the vision that we can pray that God would give us more and more of, in the knowledge that the power of Christ within us will bring us safely home. Shall we pray together for a minute? I'd invite the musicians to come forward. Father, we cannot express in words the incredible thankfulness in our hearts for giving us all a hope, a purpose in this life. That as we walk through this life, we will find with you that ultimate fulfillment of everything that we long for deep within us. Thank you, Lord, that this is not a hope that will disappoint us, because you have poured your Spirit into our hearts, your love into our hearts, through your Holy Spirit. And that one day we will indeed, by your amazing grace, be brought to that place of completeness and wholeness, and know your love in its fullness, your healing, your hope. Thank you, Lord. Come, open our eyes, we pray, afresh, as we seek to go deeper with you. Amen. Well, let's sing that incredible hymn by John Newton, "Amazing Grace, My Chains Fell Off." Let's stand together.
Amazing grace, unending love, we've been set free. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Heavenly Father, we bless you. Holy Spirit, thank you for your power. We thank you that you have done that for us. Help us to live in it, Lord, surrendered to you. And knowing your power and strength in our lives from day to day. And a grace now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or think, according to his power that is worked within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. Throughout all generations, forevermore. Amen. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, let's say it together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you. Perhaps you'd just like to sit for a moment. Just enjoy that final thought. Yes, Lord. Oh, thank you so much, Joe, for that message. And it's given us a lot to think about and a lot to grow into and enjoy. So thank you for that. If anybody has felt challenged or felt the need that they would like prayer and encouragement, do feel free to come forward. There are those of us who would like to, very much like to pray with you before you leave, whether it's for anything that's gone on in the service or that you would like healing or prayer for any other matter, then you're very welcome to come forward or to meet in the back corner. Somebody will direct you there. And I'd just like to thank the band and all their hard work, and the techie team as always at the back there. Really thank you, and we pray that those watching online would have been blessed too and encouraged. You can always get in touch with us if you're online. You'll see the information there. And I saw somebody there at the back. I didn't spot them with my binoculars, but I can see George. Has George just returned, or have you been here a few weeks and we didn't know? Oh, right. Okay. Well, here's George back from Australia. So welcome him back. That's great. And Eloise and so on, and been from Lebanon. So do linger. Fresh air outside. Coffee and tea in the hall. And any of us are here if anybody wants any particular advice or help. So thank you. God bless you. See you next week, hopefully.